Folks, I want to welcome you all to On the Edge with K.A. Owens. I'm K.A. Owens, and we are broadcasting from the top of the Hayburn Building in Louisville, Kentucky. So, folks, we're going to have a great show for you today. We've got Don Ray Smith here. Welcome to our show, Don.
Nice to see you, K.A.
So, Don Ray is a writer, a playwright, a journalist, an author, an actor, a humorist. So tell us about some of the things you're working on, Don Ray.
Well, I'm always finding out, finding things to write about, K.A. I just wrote about my experience in a timely way for the anniversary of the April 3rd tornado, because in a nutshell, I was in Freedom Hall on April 3rd, 1974, when the tornado took off half of the roof.
Wow.
And I was on the second floor.
Wow.
And that was an exciting time, because I had only been working at that job for 1 week. So I was introduced to Kentucky Fair and Exposition Center by a tornado, essentially. But
so you're a very lucky man. You're in the wrong place at the wrong time, but happily you're on the correct floor to avoid an untimely demise.
Well, and it would have been it could have been a very grim situation, because a lot of people don't know that just a few hours later, an ABA basketball game, playoff game, was scheduled for Freedom Hall. In a matter of 3 to 4 hours, Freedom Hall would have been loaded with Kentucky Colonels fans to watch that game. And there was all kinds of debris thrown down from that ceiling, including steel bars. I have a picture of one steel bar that was rammed into the bleachers like a spear. So, yeah, it could have been much, much worse in my neck of Louisville, just because of the timing of that ball game.
Right, and the parking lot would have been filled with cars and so on and so forth.
And there were several cars which were out there, staff cars, which were literally flipped upside down. So, it could have been some kind of disastrous scene for sure.
Wow. So, that was sort of a landmark day for Louisville. Cherokee Park was, more or less destroyed of its big trees, and a lot of the parks were too. And so they're still trying to get a correct mix of trees in Cherokee Park today, and get rid of the invasive bush honeysuckle, which sort of ran rampant as a result of having a tree clearing operation. So yes. Adon, we're happy that you survived 1974, and so you're still here with us today. And so why don't you tell us about your latest project or projects, or and how you want to impact the community with them?
Well, this is going to be, upcoming show will be the latest rendition of my one-person, full-blown two-act play, Growing Up White on Wilson. We made our debut there at the Russell Theater in the West End. Last September, I believe, end of September, we did 3 shows there. It was very well received by the audiences for its positive messages about a very negative environment for its time. We're talking about the segregated West End of Louisville in the 1950s. And that part of town is what my play is based on. I grew up in what you would call your formative years, all through grade school and early junior high in the West End. And I got to encounter, K.A., a lot of a lot of the fundamental examples of bigotry, racism, prejudice. Very much of I lived on a physical boundary, a dividing line between white and black Louisville. Our neighborhood was all white, and two blocks away on the other side of Wilson Avenue was essentially a big chunk of black Louisville, starting with, I believe, Cotter Homes Projects right there on Wilson. So I was essentially given the privilege of being an eyewitness to see how races interacted or not, and it was usually a not, in the late 1950s and early 1960s.
So tell us about what people even today call the West End of Louisville. So we're talking about Louisville, Kentucky. And, of course, Louisville, Kentucky is sort of split in the middle, north-south, by I-65. And well, I-65 was built at that time. And then you have an East End, a West End, a South End, but no North End. So so tell us about Louisville at that time. How was it, you know, how it was set up and why?
Well, you know, a lot of people today think that the dividing line for Louisville is traditionally and historically the 9th Street Divide, where you're talking about I-65 essentially separated Louisville, and I-264 separated white Louisville from the black West End of Louisville. And was predominantly white when I grew up. The West End was. And as we all know through history, white flight was largely responsible for the West End being predominantly black today. West End is a victim of all kinds of stereotypical images, ranging from crime to economically deprived neighborhoods to the undereducated and so on. So what I lived in was a part of town which was just going through this huge transformation due in large part, like I say, to white flight. White flight started. My parents were among those white flight families. And that was created and finally deconstructed when fair housing laws actually began to be enforced. And all the redlining that created this hard line border between white and black gradually was melting away in that part of town. As a result, a lot of white families who didn't like what was happening got the hell out of Dodge.
Yes, and so in the West End, right on the river, you have Shawnee Park, which, you know, in Louisville we have the Olmsted Park system, one of the last remaining, more or less, intact Olmsted Park systems designed by the father of landscape architecture, Frederick Law Olmsted. And so you have Shawnee Park deep in the West End, and one of the signature Olmsted Parks. Originally, of course, black people couldn't go to Shawnee.
Well, let me tell you about my park. My park, K.A., was Algonquin Park.
Okay.
Which was in the Park, technically in the Park Duval neighborhood. In that part of town, anything west of Cypress Street was technically in the Park Duval neighborhood, not Park Land or not Algonquin, but Park Duval. But funny thing about Algonquin Park, and I described this in my play, in my show, is that one half of the park was filled with white kids playing. who came from their white neighborhoods on that end of the park, the Cypress Street side of the park. The other end of the park was filled with black kids playing who came from their black neighborhoods on that end of the park, which was Wilson Avenue, the Wilson Avenue side. And figuratively, there was a glass wall right in the middle of the park, and every kid out there knew where that wall was and never went past that wall. So you had the white part of Algonquin Park, and you had the black section of Algonquin Park, which would look pretty bizarre today, but that was a given back then.
That's, again, so we have these signature parks in Louisville connected by parkways. Technically, Metro Park still controls the parkways, and so you have Metro Parks and several different foundations and whatnot to maintain the sort of the legacy of the Olmsted Parks. And so in some other cities, the parks have been sort of stolen from the people, the Olmsted Parks. The Olmsteds also did Central Park in New York City. So I guess that might be the most famous. And Frederick Law Olmsted was a best-selling author as well. And because he traveled around the country on these landscape architecture projects. And so he wrote books, and one of his most famous books was The Cotton Kingdom, a must read. So if you want to know what the antebellum South was actually like, you got to read The Cotton Kingdom. And so you're growing up as a kid, and so do you want to let people know where the next iteration of the play is going to be, or you want to talk more about the play at this time?
Well, I'll go ahead and just give you a couple of the basics. Growing Up White on Wilson, which is the name of my play, is going to be at a different venue. The first time around, it was at my nephew's theater in the West End, the Russell Theater at 17th and Madison. This particular go-around will be at Roots 101 African American Museum, which is on First Street in downtown Louisville, right across the street from the Yum Center, matter of fact. And that will be a different look for me, because rather than being in a full-blown theater as the Russell Theater, this will actually be in the lobby on the floor. So I will essentially be doing my show in the round in front of people eyeball to eyeball almost, which is fine with me because I'm a storyteller and I have no problem making eye contact with people as I talk to them. But it's going to be a free show. And thanks largely to Lamont Collins at Roots 101, who operates Roots 101, the show is free admission. There is no admission to the museum. The museum will be closed because my show will be from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. on Friday, April 26th, which I like to think is good timing, because the weekend before is Thunder over Louisville, and the weekend after is the Derby. So while people are getting their breath between those two humongous events, I'm going to slide in and do my show. But it's a two-hour show, and it is going to be less theatrical as far as the theatrical trappings like lights and so on, big-time lights and spotlights and all that, which we had at the Russell. But this will be a raw delivery of those same messages, the same story, just retold in a totally different. I'll be surrounded by all these fantastic African artifacts and masks and metalworks and paintings and so on in this lobby, which is going to be kind of cool for me to be immersed in that kind of environment to do this kind of show.
So let me have the date and the location for our audience one more time.
That will be Friday evening, April 26th from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. I think they're going to open the doors around 5:30. And it's first come, first serve. So we'll see what kind of response we get from the public for this kind of free admission show. It will be a two-act play, and afterwards we'll allow a few minutes for conversation, because one thing I learned from performing this at the Russell and before in a preview play is that this play, K.A., triggers people's own memories. And one thing which I like to think is a selling point for this kind of play is that I talk about my dividing line. Wilson Avenue was my dividing line when I grew up. And what I learned from the audience members is that this is almost a universal experience as far as Americans are concerned, because so many people in this country grew up with their own dividing lines, their own Wilson Avenues. Literally, people have experienced the same sort of prejudice and the same sort of physical distancing, no matter what city or town they grew up in.
All right, folks. So, folks, we're here today with Don Ray Smith, playwright, author, humorist, storyteller, journalist, talking about his work growing up white on Wilson. What made you decide to tell this story in various and sundry fashions?
Well, you know, nobody sits out when they're a kid. This story originates from even preschool days. Nobody starts out that I know of as a kid to say, "Hey, I'm going to take notes on this little childhood I've got. This is pretty. This will make a great story someday when I'm 40 or whatever." You don't do that. But I have plenty of memories, and those memories were reinforced and added to, essentially, by my brother and two sisters, because we used to get together and talk about the good old days and grade school and life in the West End when we were growing up, because those are your formative years anyway, right? So Those, for the most part, many, many, many memories stick with you. But as far as how this evolved, this actually, the seed for my story, my play, actually was planted in the Louisville Defender newspaper. I was talking buddies with the Louisville Defender, and they invited me to write a guest commentary, which was a short piece which I called Wilson Avenue and the Land of No Return. And they ran that story way back in 2001. And that is essentially the nut of the story that's on stage today, my story. I don't know if you're familiar with a local actor and dramatist by the name of Juju Papier. His claim to fame is he was actually a regular on Sesame Street back in the 90s. But Juju was always looking for different projects. And I had interviewed him in my journalistic days for Business First newspaper. I did a profile on him. And getting to talk to him back and forth, we had some familiar connections, including church. And he apparently saw through my musings and my childhood recollections, just chatting with him, a story. And he got together with me week after week and essentially just pumped my brain for more background on my childhood. And what formed was the one-act play called Wilson Avenue and the Land of No Return, which we did in a couple of places in Louisville pre-COVID. Then COVID came along and just wiped everything out, stopped everything dead in its tracks. And just a couple of years ago, my nephew, Rush Trow, who runs the Russell Theater, decided to try to develop my one act into a full-blown play. He had the faith in the story, and he saw worth in me being white telling a segregation story, which when you think about it, very few white people do this sort of thing, especially as a personal remembrance, which is what my play is essentially all about. So Rush worked with me, developed the full-blown play, and we performed it three times, like I said, late in September, and we had wonderful responses. And at this point, I am looking and looking and looking and looking to see how many places I can carry this message. I'm non-confrontational. A lot of people, you say, you mentioned race relations today, and you have to wait for the dust to settle, K.A., because they're running in the other direction. People don't like to be lectured about race. We all know that. People don't like to have fingers pointed at them saying you're a bad person because of the way you treated your neighbor, your teacher, your classmate, whatever. And my play, because I center it on my life, that deflects any kind of negativity that people might take upon themselves by seeing this play. This is about my experiences. And being so, it's non-confrontational. And there are tons of positive messages that the audience leaves with, K.A. The story is about racism, how it's taught and how it's passed on, but most importantly, about how it's overcome. And if people can hear those messages, you know, I feel like I've done my job. A lot of people today, as we all know, like to ignore or dismiss factual negatives, which they consider negatives, from the past. In other words, they like to erase some historical truths which aren't comfortable to them. And I just want to get my say in, K.A., to let people know that this is the way it was with me, and this is the way I was able to overcome what could have been a lifelong attitude. Because I know people who had lifelong attitudes that never got into the 21st century, so to speak. So that's what I'm trying to do.
So, folks, we're here with Don Ray Smith, playwright, author, humorist, storyteller, journalist, talking about one of his works, Growing Up White on Wilson. And just give people the date, location, and time one more time, just to make sure you get it all in.
It is Friday, April 26th, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. This will be at the Roots 101 Museum, African American Museum, which is on First Street. It's right across the street from the Yum Center, so that'll give you a sense of place. And it is a free show, and I am at this point very, very anxious just to get this in front of people so that those visiting can see that there is a legitimate story here to be told.
So there you go. So if you want to get to Roots, let's say you're going west on Main Street, you make that right on first. Get it, folks? If you're going west on Main Street, you'd make that right on first.
And there's a good sized parking lot right there as well. So there is parking. You don't have to worry about parking on the street and all of that, KA.
Right. So folks, so it's between Main Street and the river. So that's what we're talking about. So, and it's on the left side. If you're going west on Main Street, you make a right, and then Route 101 is on the left. So, there you go. So, folks, we're here with Don Ray. Don Ray, is there anything else you want to talk about with the folks?
Well, let me think, K.A.
You've got a novel out that I don't know how many. Do you still have is it still available?
It is. I have two collections of my short humor, because I started out as a short humor writer as well as a journalist. And I have a novel called Race Book, How He Found His Nubian Princess, which is about interracial marriage, which a lot of people today are finally accepting. So that is a story, a fictional story, which I think also unveils a lot of truths and dispels a lot of myths which people still carry to this day about interracial relationships. So yes, that's still for sale. I have those two short books as well. Feel My Humerus, H-U-M-E-R-U-S, as in the bone. Feel My Humerus and Kentucky Shorts, both of those short pieces from magazines which they've appeared in, or online Facebook post I've made myself. So those are projects. I'm working on a couple of more projects. I'll probably do a book version of my play, and also another collection of short humor, because it keeps piling up on me. That's why I did them in the first place. I looked around one day and saw three or four dozen pieces that I'd written as standalone pieces for magazines and newspapers and whatever. So I will probably do another collection of those as well, K.A.
All right, folks. So as you know, we're going through our pledge drive for this station. So if you want to donate some money, go to forwardradio.org, and you'll find the donate button. Got to support what you love, folks. Support what you love. So if you want to support the station during our pledge drive, go to forwardradio.org, find the donate button, and support what you love. All right, folks, we've been here with Don Ray Smith and talking about growing up white on Wilson and his latest iteration that's going to be at Roots 101 on the Friday, April the 26th. So from 6 to 8 p.m. So, folks, this is On the Edge with K.A. Owens, and we will be back next week on 106.5 FM.